The Discourse Concerning Mahalankyaputta. Then Venerable Mahalankyaputta approached the Gracious One, and after approaching and worshipping the Gracious One, he sat down on one side. While sitting on one side, the Venerable Mahalankyaputta said this to the Gracious One, "Please, Reverend Sir, may the Gracious One preach the Dhamma to me in brief. Then I, having heard the Gracious One's Dhamma, may dwell solitary, secluded, heedful, ardent, and resolute." Now what shall we say to the young monks, Mahalankyaputta, if you, who are an old monk, elderly, of great age, far gone, advanced in years, ask for advice in brief? "Although I, Reverend Sir, am old, elderly, of great age, far gone, advanced in years, let the Gracious One preach the Dhamma to me in brief, Reverend Sir. Let the Fortunate One preach the Dhamma to me in brief. I will surely understand the meaning of what is spoken by the Gracious One. I will surely be an heir to what is spoken by the Gracious One." "Then what do you think, Mahalankyaputta? Those forms cognizable by the eye which have not been seen, which formerly have not been seen, which you are not seeing, and which you do not expect to see, can there be desire or passion or love relating to them?" "Surely not, Reverend Sir." "Those sounds cognizable by the ear which have not been heard, which formerly have not been heard, which you are not hearing, and which you do not expect to hear, can there be desire or passion or love relating to them?" "Surely not, Reverend Sir." "Those smells cognizable by the nose which have not been smelt, which formerly have not been smelt, which you are not smelling, and which you do not expect to smell, can there be desire or passion or love relating to them?" "Surely not, Reverend Sir." "Those tastes cognizable by the tongue which have not been tasted, which formerly have not been tasted, which you are not tasting, and which you do not expect to taste, can there be desire or passion or love relating to them?" "Surely not, Reverend Sir." "Those tangibles cognizable by the body which have not been touched, which formerly have not been touched, which you are not touching, and which you do not expect to touch, can there be desire or passion or love relating to them?" "Surely not, Reverend Sir." "Those thoughts cognizable by the mind which have not been cognized, which formerly have not been cognized, which you are not cognizing, and which you do not expect to cognize, can there be desire or passion or love relating to them?" "Surely not, Reverend Sir." "Now here for you, Mahalankyaputta, in regard to things that are seen, heard, sensed, or cognized, in what is seen there must be only what is seen. In what is heard there must be only what is heard. In what is sensed there must be only what is sensed. In what is cognized there must be only what is cognized. And since for you, Mahalankyaputta, in regard to things that are seen, heard, sensed, or cognized, in what is seen there will be only what is seen. In what is heard there will be only what is heard. In what is sensed there will be only what is sensed. In what is cognized there will only be what is cognized. Therefore, Mahalankyaputta, you will not be with that. And since, Mahalankyaputta, you will not be with that, therefore, Mahalankyaputta, you will not be in that. And since, Mahalankyaputta, you will not be in that, therefore, Mahalankyaputta, you will not be here, or hereafter, or in between the two. Just this is the end of suffering. Of this, Reverend Sir, that was spoken in brief by the Gracious One, thus do I understand the meaning in detail. Having seen a form and forgotten mindfulness, applying the mind to an object held dear, he feels it with an excited mind, and persists in indulging it. So for him increase various feelings that originate with form, and by covetousness and by violence is his mind destroyed. For one heaping up suffering like this, Nibbana is said to be far away. having heard a sound and forgotten mindfulness, applying the mind to an object held dear, he feels it with an excited mind and persists in indulging it. So for him increase various feelings that originate with sound, and by covetousness and by violence is his mind destroyed. For one heaping up suffering like this, Nibbana is said to be far away. Having smelt a smell and forgotten mindfulness, applying the mind to an object held dear, he feels it with an excited mind and persists in indulging it. So for him increase various feelings that originate with smells, and by covetousness and by violence is his mind destroyed. For one heaping up suffering like this, Nibbana is said to be far away. Having savoured a taste and forgotten mindfulness, applying the mind to an object held dear, he feels it with an excited mind and persists in indulging it. So for him increase various feelings that originate with tastes, and by covetousness and by violence is his mind destroyed. For one heaping up suffering like this, Nibbana is said to be far away. Having touched a tangible and forgotten mindfulness, applying the mind to an object held dear, he feels it with an excited mind and persists in indulging it. So for him increase various feelings that originate with tangibles, and by covetousness and by violence is his mind destroyed. For one heaping up suffering like this, Nibbana is said to be far away. Having cognized a thought and forgotten mindfulness, applying the mind to an object held dear, he feels it with an excited mind and persists in indulging it. So for him increase various feelings that originate with thoughts, and by covetousness and by violence is his mind destroyed. For one heaping up suffering like this, Nibbana is said to be far away. Not being excited by forms, having seen a form he is mindful, he feels it with an unexcited mind and does not persist in indulging it. For he who sees a form and experiences the feeling in this way, corruptions are destroyed, not heaped up. He thus lives mindfully. For one reducing suffering like this, Nibbana is said to be near. Not being excited by sounds, having heard a sound he is mindful. He feels it with an unexcited mind and does not persist in indulging it. For he who hears a sound and experiences the feeling in this way, corruptions are destroyed, not heaped up. He thus lives mindfully. For one reducing suffering like this, Nibbana is said to be near. Not being excited by smells, having smelt a smell he is mindful, he feels it with an unexcited mind and does not persist in indulging it. For he who smells a smell and experiences the feeling in this way, corruptions are destroyed, not heaped up. He thus lives mindfully. For one reducing suffering like this, Nibbana is said to be near. Not being excited by tastes, having savoured a taste, he is mindful. He feels it with an unexcited mind and does not persist in indulging it. For he who tastes the taste and experiences the feeling in this way, corruptions are destroyed, not heaped up. He thus lives mindfully. For one reducing suffering like this, Nibbana is said to be near. Not being excited by tangibles, having touched a tangible, he is mindful. He feels it with an unexcited mind and does not persist in indulging it. For he who touches a tangible and experiences the feeling in this way, corruptions are destroyed, not heaped up. He thus lives mindfully. For one reducing suffering like this, Nibbana is said to be near. Not being excited by thoughts, having cognized a thought, he is mindful. He feels it with an unexcited mind and does not persist in indulging it. For he who cognizes a thought and experiences the feeling in this way, corruptions are destroyed, not heaped up. He thus lives mindfully. For one reducing suffering like this, Nibbana is said to be near. Of this, reverend sir, that was spoken in brief by the gracious one, so do I understand the meaning in detail. Good, good, Mālankyaputta, it is good, Mālankyaputta. Of what was spoken in brief by me, so do you understand the meaning in detail. Of this, Mālankyaputta, that was spoken in brief by me, so should you understand the meaning in detail. Then Venerable Mālankyaputta, having rejoiced in and been gladdened by the Gracious One's speech, having risen from his seat and worshipped the Gracious One, after circumambulating him, departed. Then Venerable Mālankyaputta, while dwelling solitary, secluded, heedful, ardent and resolute, after no long time attained that good for which young gentlemen rightly go forth from the house to the houseless life, that unsurpassed conclusion to the spiritual life, and dwelt, having known, experienced, and attained it himself in this very life. Destroyed is rebirth, accomplished is the spiritual life, done is what ought to be done, there is no more of being in this mundane state. This he knew, and Venerable Mālankyaputta became another of the worthy ones.